do it yourself, son.
We're looking this morning at John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Or sorry, John chapter 14. John chapter 4 and, John chapter 14, thank you. John chapter 14 and thinking particularly of verse 27. Verse 27 reads, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The Lord Jesus Christ speaking, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And we were in the worship this morning, we were looking at Isaiah 9, and we saw that some of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, and also he is the Prince of Peace. In John chapter 14, the Lord comforts his apostles, and in verse 1 the Lord says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." And here we see that a cure for a troubled heart is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And here we see that a cure for a troubled heart is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verses 2 and 3, the Lord gives the reason why your heart should not be troubled. Because as the Lord states, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Your heart should not be troubled, because if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that in your Father's house are many mansions, and the Lord has gone there to prepare a place to prepare a place just for you. And the Lord will come again, and he will receive you unto himself and take you back with him, so that where the Lord is, there you will be also. Then in verse 4, the Lord states that where I am going, you know, and the way you know. And in verse 5, Thomas says to the Lord, "I don't know where you are going, so how can I know the way?" Then Jesus in verse 6 says unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus says unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And in these verses we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way back to God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way back to God. Then in verse 13, the Lord gives believers a new privilege in prayer, as the Lord states that, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." So you may say, if I ask the Lord for a new house, or a new car, or a holiday, or whatever your heart's desire is, then the Lord will do it. No, not so, because there is a clause in the prayer that whatsoever you may pray for must glorify God. so that whatsoever we pray for, if it glorifies not God, then it will not be in the will of God, so that God may grant it. Then in verse 15 we read that the Lord states that, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father that he will give you another comforter, that he will abide to you, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. So here in these verses we see the Lord's promise that every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ will be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who will comfort them, and that the Apostle Paul states in Romans 8 and 14 that, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Often, as a believer, when we read God's word, and although we have read a passage of scripture many times, then as we are reading a passage which we have read many times before, the Lord points something out, that although we have read it many times, we have never noticed it. And this happened to me on Friday while I was reading this. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And it is this sentence, that he may abide with you forever, that I thought about for the first time, just to think that I have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, not just until I am absent from the body and present with the Lord, but that the Holy Spirit is indwelling me forever, for all eternity. Truly, it is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Then as Paul states that, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Led by the Spirit of God, we are children of God. We have received the spirit of adoption, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, to suffer with him and to be glorified together. And in these verses we see seven more reasons why our hearts should not be troubled. Child of God, what troubles your heart this morning? What worries you? What troubles and worries me? None of us are exempt from trouble or worry. And I don't know the depth of your trouble or how much you are suffering, but the Lord knows, and the Lord knows all about you. And the Lord says to us this morning, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. Then in verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my saying, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Then in these verses we see that when the Holy Spirit indwells us, that the Lord and the Father are with us as well, and that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever that you have read from the Bible. Whatever you have read from the Bible, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance. Then the Lord states in verse 27, "Peace, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And we have seen from Isaiah that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Then we can ask the question, what is the Lord's peace which he gives unto you? Well, the Lord's peace in Strong's Concordance is defined as prosperity, quietness, rest, and to be set at one again. To be set at one again. Very interesting, isn't it? The Lord's peace, prosperity, quietness, rest, and to be set at one again. Then Paul states in Romans 5 and 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And in this verse we see that through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we then have peace with God. Then in Philippians 4 and 6, Paul states that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So we're not to worry, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So then in these verses we see that the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have peace with God, can then begin to know the peace of God which passes all understanding, that shall keep their hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then in verse 6, where we read that, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Be careful for nothing. And this word in Strong's Concordance is defined as to take thought, to be anxious. So then we see that believers are not to be anxious about anything, and they are to, in everything, pray with supplication and with thanksgiving, that their requests may be made known unto God. And as we have seen already, that the Lord will grant our requests if they are according to his glory. Then in Isaiah 26 and 3, Isaiah states that, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." Here in Isaiah we see that if a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ keeps their mind stayed on God, that their mind will be kept by God in perfect peace. And Paul states in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and 5 that, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations or reasonings, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And here we see that we are to bring our every thought captive to the obedience of the Word of God, and that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down reasonings, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Then in Colossians 3 and 12, Paul tells us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that we are to put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels or tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Here we see in these verses that if we should let the peace of God rule in our hearts, then we will put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. We would be enabled to forgive one another, even as Christ forgave us. And also, we are enabled to put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, and we our perfectness, and we are also called in one body, and we are to be thankful, so are we thankful this morning. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich, so free. Ephesians 2 and 14, for the Lord is our peace. Ephesians 2 and 14, the Lord is our peace. Ephesians 4 and 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The bond of peace. Ephesians 6 and 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are to walk in the gospel of peace, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Colossians 3 and 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The peace of God is to rule in our hearts. Hebrews 12 and 14, we are to follow peace. Peace with all men. Do we follow peace with all men? Hebrews 13 and 20, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And here we see that we worship, here we see that we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we worship the God of peace. We worship the God of peace. Then these readings this morning have been for believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who know him as their Lord and Saviour. But if you are listening to the message on the internet or on the recording, and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, then the good news for you is that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 2 and 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. So why not call on the Lord right now and ask him to save you? And he will. For whosoever comes unto him, he will not cast out. Then you will be born again of the Spirit of God, and you will receive the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Spirit will witness with your spirit that you are a child of God, and an heir, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, whereby ye can cry, Abba, Father, and find grace and help in the time of need. And you will have peace with God, and you will begin to know the peace of God which passes all understanding. So why not ask the Lord to save you right now? Ask him to save you right now, because now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Because tomorrow for you may never come. Tomorrow for you may be too late. So be saved today. Call upon the Lord while he may yet be found. We could be singing number 324 in 324 in the Believer's Hymn Book. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billow roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ have regarded my helpless estate, and has shed his own blood for my soul. My sin know the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. For me, be it Christ hence to live, if death waters o'er me shall roll, no pang shall be mine, for in death as in life, thou wilt whisper thy peace to my soul. But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. And we'll stand to sing.